serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit today with 92-year-old Ralph Thiessen of Merced, California. He grew up with three sisters and six brothers, and six of the seven boys in the Thiessen family served in our armed forces. You heard Ralph explain what he was doing on the USS Saratoga when that historic aircraft carrier survived the impact of seven bombs and five kamikaze hits on February 21, 1945. Ralph, of course, survived, but his best friend on the ship, an old Chowchilla High School classmate named Tom Begley, did not. If you ever have the chance to read Marion Walter's book, Sarah CV3, Sinking the Rising Sun, you'll find the book deals extensively with Tom Begley's story. I have that book linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com and on the Hometown Heroes page on Facebook. Page number 220 of the book tells the story of a conversation Ralph and Tom and another friend had the night before that devastating attack. Despite their attempts to convince him otherwise, Tom insisted he knew he wouldn't survive the war, and he asked Ralph to deliver a message to his family back home. "Tell them it was great while it lasted, and I was happy," he said. You heard Ralph explain how devastating it was to visit the Marine gunner's quarters the next day after the attack and learn that Tom had been killed while manning his anti-aircraft gun. But let's get to the conclusion of that story.
What about carrying out that promise that you made to Tom?
I did go see his folks.
When was that?
Right when I got home. I was a little late in getting off the ship because they took the starboard side off for it, and then they took the port side off.
Mm-hmm.
So it was about a couple of weeks before I got home.
That must have been a really hard thing to do.
I did write her a letter.
You wrote his sister a letter?
Yeah, and I told her it was going to be the hardest letter I ever wrote, and it was.
What did you say in the letter?
I told her how sad I was to have her brother killed, and about one page letter that I wrote on. And I think she still had the letter.
But then you get back to Chowchilla, and your war is over. You don't have to fight anymore, but you have to go see his parents.
Yeah, I did. Lavada and Tom's girlfriend came to our place, and I'd take a little while before I went and seen him, and I told her more about Tom. I think about it, but like I say, every day I'm reminded over there with that Kodak.
Yeah, so you've got, right next to your favorite chair, you've got one of those digital picture frames. So it'll rotate through as many pictures as you can stick on there.
Mm-hmm.
And how often does Tom's face come up on there?
It comes up every day.
Every day?
Yeah. In the morning, hi, Tom.
And how did his parents receive it when you went and saw him? How did they handle that?
Oh, they're sad. Very sad. I think being buried at sea.
And he wasn't the only young man from Chowchilla who died in World War II.
All right.
How many people do you think were in Chowchilla during those years? What was the population?
2,500 maybe.
2,500. And how many kids from Chowchilla gave their lives in the war?
I think 25.
25.
Yeah, they got them in the park in Chowchilla. They got a memorial.
Mm-hmm.
That is set up with all their names on it.
You ever go over there?
Yeah, I've gone there a couple of times.
Tom's name probably isn't the only one you remember.
Right.
1 out of 100 people in the whole town.
Mm-hmm.
It's a heavy price to pay.
Yeah.
Also among those 25 Chowchilla boys to make the ultimate sacrifice in World War II was a Marine named Burl Wetter. He had been a standout fullback on some head-turning Fresno State Bulldog football teams before the war. Wetter was killed while fighting the Japanese on Okinawa. I mentioned that book that tells more of Tom Begley's story, but also linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com is a video from the Stories of Service Project, produced and narrated by Tom's sister, Lavada Begley Peterson. It only takes a few minutes to watch, and I think it'll help you even better understand the sacrifice that family made, a sacrifice hundreds of thousands of American families made in World War II, including 25 of them in Ralph Thiessen's small hometown.
Was it hard to get back on with your life after all that, after what you'd seen and what you'd gone through?
I found a job right away, which I didn't like. I worked at the creamery in Chowchilla. I didn't care too much for it, strapping wire around the boxes And so I had a neighbor that I really liked. And I worked for him some before I went into service. And the second day I was home, he came down to see me. I don't know how I found out I was home, but he came down and wanted me to go to work for him. So I did. I finally rented a place for him, and that's how I got my start farming.
Mm-hmm. And you farmed cotton, alfalfa,
cotton,
what else?
Mainly alfalfa.
Uh-huh.
It was a pig farm when I first went down there. We turned it into a dairy.
Uh-huh. I guess I can't let you tell your story without telling a little bit of your family story. You mentioned that your father had served in that you're the fourth out of 10 kids. 7 of those 10 are boys. And how many of those 7 boys ended up in the armed forces?
6 of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's 2 of us were in the Navy, and 1 there in the Air Force, and the 1 was in Korea.
I bet that gives you a lot of pride to be one of 6 brothers who all served our country.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say you're most proud of?
By being a father of 5 kids. We have a nice family.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you and Noreen been married?
65 years.
How'd you meet?
I was at a dance in Cha-Cha, and I asked her to dance with me.
You think she'll tell me the same story?
Yeah, I think she would.
What have you appreciated about her for 65 years?
Well, she's a good housewife, good farmer's wife, drove tractor. But the only thing she I didn't let her do is bale hay.
You didn't want her to throw her back out baling hay?
Right.
Well, why don't we hear a little bit from the beautiful bride you'll see if you pull up the Thiessen's wedding photo at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, especially since she's the reason this interview is happening. Interestingly enough, here's a little aside for you. I've actually had Ralph Thiessen on my list of veterans who've been suggested to me. He's been on that list for over a decade. When I first began interviewing World War II vets on television back in 2005, his nephew sent me his information. I followed up with it, but Ralph declined. He wasn't ready to talk about these issues. What changed? Well, he has a loving and persistent wife who eventually convinced him to work with her to write some of his experiences down. So when another listener named Larry Bennett recently recommended Ralph again, this time he was ready to talk, and we have Noreen to thank for that. And Noreen, you've been listening. Anything you feel you need to add to what your husband shared here?
I know he enjoyed his service years, even though things didn't turn out, especially with losing his best friend. But he always said he enjoyed the Navy, and it taught him a lot, and I'm glad he came back in one piece.
Is there part of his story, as you've listened to it over the years or helped piece it together over the years, that takes you back a little bit, that gets your attention or raises your eyebrows and say, boy, how did he deal with that?
I often wondered how any of them dealt with it. And so many of them, to all the different wars and everything, how they deal with it. And some of them aren't able to. And that's the sad part about it.
And I know it's a little hard for him to talk about Tom. You can tell that they were very close and mm-hmm. that promise he made, while it was difficult, not easy to keep, it was crucial for him to keep that promise.
Mm-hmm.
What can you add to maybe what he shared about that you've witnessed as far as how much that friendship has meant to him in all the years since the war?
He mentions Tom quite a bit. Different times, different things would come up. He says, I remember when the Navy and Marines never got along, so to speak, and they never traveled together, and they always traveled with their own branch. So many times when they were able to get leave together, that was very important for them. That they could always go back to their days in school and have things to talk about and home and things like that. So he remembers all those good times and everything. I know he feels he's very fortunate that he did get to serve with Tom. He always said Tom would have made a very good farmer and a good dad, because he was a good brother to his sisters, and his mom and dad were very good people. So it was hard on the family. It's like all families, that their sons never came home. I just wish this didn't have to happen all the time. Seems like it's never going to end. Hopefully, someday.
You were talking about him saying Tom would have been a good dad and a good farmer. Sounds like Ralph was a pretty good dad and a pretty good farmer.
Yes, he was. He started out with secondhand tractors, secondhand just about everything, and build them up little by little. And he was very successful, and he loved farming. He always thought it was the best way to make a living, and he was able to. Had 5 kids and 9 grandchildren. They all adore him like I do.
You said they adore him like I do. You still adore him after 65 years? You're not sick of him yet?
No, I don't know what I'd do without him. Oh, we have ups and downs. I think there's not a married couple that hasn't had ups and downs. But we work through them. We love our church. It's been a good life. I'd like to add, if veterans are listening, please think about your story, what you did. It doesn't make any difference where you were stationed, what you did. You left a family at home. Keep on thinking about telling the story, because so many dads that I've talked to, oh, why didn't I get my dad to talk more? Why didn't I ask my dad more questions? And our kids were after me for 5 or 6 years. Mom, you got to get to talk to dad before he, you know, doesn't remember anymore. And I said, well, he's got his books and stuff, and his mom's not the same thing. So I finally, it took me about 3 years to read different books and put it together. I'm not the greatest writer, but the kids all seem like they enjoy their having their books together. And his Thiessen military family, it's not too often that there are 6 out of 7 sons go off to war, are able to come back and have a good family life. I think it's so important to have them talk about it. And I realize some of them that can't and maybe never will be able to. But if you can, it means so much to your family to have something. And years goes by, the kids can say, I remember when Dad told me this, and I remember when Dad said that. It just sort of keeps the family going, I think.
It reminds us of the price that was paid for our freedom and our connection to it.
Very much so.
Well, good job getting him to open up a little bit.
Yeah, it took a while.
Persistence pays off, huh?
I guess.
Well, you know, it's good to hear that from someone else. I think it means more coming from you, because people are probably sick of me saying it. That is, after all, the primary purpose of this show, making sure that veterans' families have a lasting record of what their loved ones did when freedom was at stake and the world as we know it was saved by their service and sacrifice. Of course, we always hope that on top of any veteran we interview here, maybe you'll be inspired to talk to the veterans in your life and get those experiences down so they're not lost forever. Let's get back to Ralph now, because there are a few more of my sometimes silly questions that I haven't gotten to ask you yet.
Have you ever looked back on that time in your life, your time in the Navy, especially when the Saratoga got hit by 5 kamikazes at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought about that and said, if I was on the opposite side of the ship, if I was where Tom was, if I was here, if I was there, that I never would have met my wife?
Mm-hmm.
Our 5 kids would have never been born? Were there 9 grandkids?
Yeah.
How do you figure that one out? How do you explain that?
Because I was lucky.
Yeah?
I was pretty religious.
You think God was looking out for you?
Could have been, yeah.
Anything else I didn't ask you about that you think people should know?
I'll tell you what. When I came home, they had a party in Choctaw for the servicemen. And they had all the names on this big paper on the gym. And I looked, I didn't see my name on there. And it really tore me up. Then I go over to the Catholic Church, not the same time, but later on. My name wasn't on there. So I put my name on there in the color crayon. I did the biggest.
Here I went out there and risked my life and almost got killed, and they're not giving me credit for it, huh?
Yeah, it made me mad.
I don't blame you. Do you think the Navy taught you anything? Do you think that time in the service did something for the man
you
became?
I tell you, I learned more in Wapaton, North Dakota than I did 3 years of high school. I really enjoyed that school. I've been back there once to see it. We had Navy shipmates that were teachers there, but that was a nice place. The atmosphere, glad I got there to see it. Like I said, I learned a lot in that service school.
Sounds like it. Yeah, I'm just thinking, we can go see an aircraft carrier if we want. If we want to see the USS Midway, we can go down to San Diego and visit that. You can see the second Yorktown, I believe, in Norfolk, Virginia. You go up here to the Bay Area and find the second USS Hornet. What if we want to visit the Saratoga? What would we have to do to go find your ship?
I get some progmen to go down there.
Tell us about that. What happened to your ship?
They got a group of guys on the Saratoga. I wanted to get home, so I didn't go with them.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wished I had. And they had to get off the ship. They was going to, you know, try to sink it.
Mm-hmm.
So they went in the background quite a ways back. I knew one guy that went out there. So they put him back on the ship, and it was still hot.
After it had been blown up by a nuclear bomb. This is the atomic bomb testing in Bikini.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they put people back on the ship that was radioactive.
Yeah, that, I don't know why, but they went back and then, I don't know if they moved the ship, I don't think they did, but then they tried one on top, and that's when it sunk her.
She was a tough one to sink. I mean, you guys proved that off Iwo Jima with all those kamikazes, and they proved it again then.
It was all but good.
But you've seen images from below the water where they've gone down and done some diving on the ship?
Mm-hmm. And they have to have permission. They sunk a lot of ships out there.
Oh, yeah.
Japanese battle wagon.
If you add up the American and Japanese vessels that were sunk as part of the atomic testing at Bikini Atoll, you'd come up with 16 different ships. A total of 23 nuclear devices were detonated there, either above or below the water. It took two of them, one of each, to knock out the 39,000-ton, 880-foot-long Saratoga. If you happen to get permission to dive there now, you only need to go down 40 feet to find the Saratoga's bridge. You can still see the dive bombers in her hangar deck, as well as unexploded bombs. If you're the adventure type, a thrill seeker, maybe you want to add that one to your bucket list. And if we were on one of those planes coming back from a mission, this would be about the spot in the program where we need to bring it back for a landing on the Saratoga's deck.
Well, I guess that's my last question. You came home. Your best buddy didn't. And he's one of 406,000 Americans who died in World War II. Most of us alive today weren't even born. We didn't live through this time, and we don't really understand how heavy a price was paid for our freedom. How should we remember today those men like Tom who paid the ultimate price? What do you think their legacy is? Or if that idea comes to mind for us, what should it mean to us? How should we think about them?
It'd be a sad story. I'm just glad I made it to 92.
You're still going, and you're one of our connections to that time. You know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm interested in your real feelings. And this show is called Hometown Heroes. And a lot of times the guys I interview, they say, hey, I don't like that name. I don't see myself as a hero.
No, I don't either. No.
Something tells me you might see Tom as a hero.
Mm-hmm. I would. I don't think very fast. So I guess you realize that.
Well, sometimes maybe you're thinking too fast, or you're thinking some real important things that aren't easy to say. I just want to give you the chance to honor your friend.
Mm-hmm.
It sure sounds like you keep his memory alive.
I still remember him.
And here's one more for you. Obviously, you've experienced a lot and done a lot in 92 years. Is there anything that you haven't done yet that you're looking forward to?
No, not really. Most of the time is spent in that chair over there and looking out the window.
Well, I know there's one thing I didn't say. I didn't say thank you. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling us your story so we can understand a little bit what you and the guys like you went through.
Okay, well, thank you.
That is Ralph Thiessen, 92 years old and one of the last survivors of that infamous kamikaze attack on the USS Saratoga in 1945. Don't forget to pull up photos and even that short video of Ralph online at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. You'll also find links there for more information on his late friend Tom Begley, who I think we all know, after listening today, would be very proud of the life his friend Ralph has lived. That's our program for today. I hope you'll join us again next time at this same time on this same station when we're reminded once more through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.